calendar turns to November, basketball season is here. Coming up on episode 108 of TritonCast, we head back to Lion Tree Arena to preview the upcoming men's basketball season with head coach Eric Olin. He'll talk about the returning standouts, including reigning Big West newcomer of the year, Aniwa Tate Jones, and Big West best six player, Ty McGuy, as well as provide insight on the seven new faces that dot this year's roster. The Tritons were selected third in the Big West preseason poll. So what do those expectations mean? Our men's basketball season preview is in the Triton Spotlight this week on TritonCast. Welcome to episode 108 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. Whether you found us on your favorite podcast platform or ucsdtritons.com, thank you for joining us this week. Before we get to this week's Triton Spotlight, let's go around campus. Big news on the basketball front, as UC San Diego has hired Bill Carr to serve as the first general manager of Triton basketball. You can read more about the new role on ucsdtritons.com, and we'll plan on having him join us on a future TritonCast. Congrats to swimming's Luigi Franco, the Big West Swimmer of the Week. And best of luck to men's and women's cross country as they compete at the Big West Championships this weekend at UC Riverside. And this week's University Credit Union Athletes of the Week are swimming's Asha Kozan and men's water polo's Lucas Romaguerra. Congrats to those two. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Our conversation this week is with men's basketball head coach Eric Olin. He's entering his 12th season, and Coach Olin was named Big West Coach of the Year last year, but he knows that doesn't mean much entering this season. Last week, Eric Olin joined ESPN's Steve Quist to preview the 2024-25 season.
So, Eric, as we get ready for you to start your 12th season, you know, before we get to the upcoming season, let's briefly reflect on last year and the first 20-win season in Division I, and you had the postseason berth in CBI. Is there something you're most proud of with last year's accomplishments? And there were many, obviously.
No, I just think it was like a really fun team to be a part of. I appreciated like the group and their effort and their competitive spirit. It's just a fun group to be a part of. And, you know, we'll kind of always remember that group as one that hopefully got things going for us here at the end of that transition. And if we can do our job and build on that, you know, they'll always kind of be part of laying the foundation for us. But I don't know that there's one single thing, just kind of the collective group and the experience. And, you know, it was a fun season for us.
So now that the transition's over, you did your 4 years and everything, and everyone was, you know, upbeat and had the party line and everything. How difficult a transition did it turn out to be, as you have a chance to maybe reflect on it?
It was long for sure. It was long. Yeah. I mean, you know, so 4 years is a long time, and I'm sure that rule will change and future teams won't have to wait so long, which I'm in favor of. But yeah, it's just kind of like the challenge of keeping everybody focused day to day without some of those things at the end was, I think we learned a lot from that. I think that we were fortunate to have really kind of mature groups who took a very serious approach and never really gave in or allowed that external stuff to affect them in a significant way. I think it affects everybody a little bit, but you know, really proud of the guys who went through it and all the work that they did to help us get through, but also really excited that it's over.
So finally, Big West, NCAA postseason eligible. Does anything change for you and your staff in terms of, you know, preparation either now in October or on a nightly basis during the season?
No, we're doing everything basically the same way we've been doing it. And, you know, I don't think that I talked about this a lot last year. The questions came up because we're kind of in position and couldn't go. And but like we don't, day to day, you don't feel it as much, you know, until you kind of get late in the season. But day to day is just so focused on trying to get a little better in practice or, you know, correcting issues or preparing for an opponent. Like you get so focused on those things that you need to do that day with the group and the progress you're trying to make maybe that's just me. I just don't feel it or didn't feel it that much on a day-to-day basis as much as just sort of when you zoom out and think it is when it sort of starts to play a role.
a lot of, you know, roster change, coaching staffs change and all that. It's just the nature of Division I basketball now. But you brought back your entire staff from last year. I mean, that I would assume that that consistency can really be a big benefit for you guys.
Yeah, I feel fortunate. I mean, we have a fantastic staff and some guys, you know, Clint Aller's been here for a very long time. And, you know, so we've had a lot of consistency there. And then, you know, otherwise, you know, everybody's relatively new. 3-4 years, I think, is the most that anybody's been with us. But we have had some consistency over the last couple. And I do think there's a lot of value in that and having the same guys saying the same things and kind of delivering the same messages and everybody on the same page is helpful. I think the staff does a great job of preparing our team to compete against opponents, developing our players on an individual and collective basis. So feel really great about our staff. I think they're a big part of our success last year and certainly will play major roles this season as well.
So now looking ahead to this upcoming season, like what, you know, what are you most excited about as you head into a season where you're finally eligible to win the conference and maybe go to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, kind of all the same things. Obviously, the postseason at the end is something that we'll hopefully have an opportunity to participate in. But it's really all the same work that you kind of do every year, and you kind of get the same feelings about where you are at different stages and the same anxiety about whether you're not going to be able to correct your problems by the time the season starts. And, you know, we got a scrimmage coming up this weekend and then the first game early November over at San Diego State. So it's kind of all those things that you see every year and just trying to get everybody on the same page, trying to find the best version of ourselves that we really possibly can at this stage of the season. I think everybody's excited to compete and play against other, like, you know, we've been practicing against ourselves for so long and just hours and hours in the gym together. It's like once the season comes and you start to get the focus on some other teams outside of yourself a little bit and compete against those teams. It's a welcome change to the schedule.
There was a lot of standout performances last year. A lot of guys I liked watching. I'm sure you liked too. And even when he would Tate Jones is one. I remember we were talking prior to last year and you were like, hey, look out for this guy and this guy and all these Division II guys. And I'm kind of like, is he sandbagging me? What's going on here? And they all turned out to play terrifically, right? And Tate Jones was one that was named Big West Newcomer of the Year. He's on the conference preseason team this year. You know, what makes him such an asset?
Man, he's a really good player. He's a fantastic teammate. He's a genuinely high-level competitor on a daily basis. We practiced for 3 hours today, and he is high motor the whole time. He really sets the standard for our group about like what it looks like to really play hard and compete. And, you know, he doesn't let like the last play bother him. He's kind of relentless that way in how he plays and how he attacks the basket and is just kind of like always in attack mode. He's great on the glass. He's super versatile. So he brings so much to our team. And I think having a year in the system with the program and really understanding his role and how to be effective in it, he's been as good as anybody, all through the summer and the preseason and all of that stuff. He's been playing great basketball. So we were expecting big things from him and for him to have another great year for us.
Yeah. I also recall one of the other preseason conversations we had was about Ty McGuy. And you weren't quite sure, hey, are we going to get this guy? And he got eligible a few weeks in and you were like, this is the best guy we've had in practice. And you look at him and he doesn't really pass the eye test. And then he's just dropping, you know, 20 points per game and could have been one of the most valuable players in the conference last year, to be quite honest with you. And I see, you know, he was the sixth man of the year. I'm not sure if that's going to be his role again, if he slides in. Talk a little bit about the year he had and what kind of plans you have for him coming up.
Yeah, I don't expect Ty to be eligible for that sixth man of the year award in back-to-back seasons. He's firmly in our starting lineup. And, you know, obviously he played, like he's playing 30 minutes a game off the bench in that role. So like he was playing starters minutes, but he got a little late start to the season and we kind of were set in our rotation. So he was comfortable coming off the bench and giving us a ton of scoring off the bench, which was really valuable for us. But he'll be firmly in ink in that starting lineup. And he's another guy who's had a really good offseason, another year in the program, like just kind of all those guys coming in were really smart guys and were able to pick things up quickly, but kind of coming back in year two as a genuine returning player is really helpful, I think, in the way that we play, and guys usually take a jump. So if, you know, Ty can go to another level, which we're hoping and have seen a little bit of, and, you know, we think he's in line to have another big season. And I think he's as good a shooter as there is in the country. He's as good an offensive player as there is in the Big West Conference. Like he's a really dynamic offensive player who bends the defense in a bunch of different ways. He can play off the ball and make shots. He can get his own on the ball. He can score one-on-one in the post. He's, I think, made a lot of progress as a playmaker for other people as he draws more and more attention from the defenses. So another guy that, you know, coming off a really good year last year, I think if he can, you know, he's in line to take another step. And if he does, it's that's good for us.
I think Hayden Gray got overlooked quite a bit for what he did for you guys and how he ran everything. And I thought maybe he could have been on one of those teams at the end of the year, because we had a discussion mid-year now, you and I, and you're like, look at that stat sheet. And, you know, what stands out? And it was the fact that, you know, starting the month of March, I think it was, or late in February, he had more steals than he had turnovers. I don't know if it ended that way. Forgive me for not looking at the stats, but he's super overlooked guy that I, you know, just kind of is, it just seems perfect for this program.
He's such an underrated player. I mean, not in our locker room, right? I think our program, yeah, the guys in it really understand what he brings and how valuable he is to us. But I think from the outside looking in, if you aren't really paying attention and you just like check his numbers, or just look at the box score stats of the, you know, points and rebounds, it doesn't tell the story of how he impacts the game. And that's one of my favorite stats, because everybody looks at assists to turnover. I mean, Hayden, I think he finished the year more steals than turnovers on the season. So, you know, one of the things that we talk about is winning the possession battle. And like, he is by definition winning that battle, had like a huge part of as your point guard. If he is taking the ball away from the other team more than he's giving it to them, like you're in a great place in terms of winning that possession battle. So huge for us. Another guy who, like, with the time in the program is, I think, poised to continue to progress. And he's just one of those guys that really understands the team concept and kind of how the whole, like, you know, it's amazing what you can accomplish when no one gets the credit. Like, that makes me think of Hayden Gray. Like, he does not care about the credit. He just wants our team to be successful. He wants our team to win. He makes plays that help our team win. And he doesn't care about scoring. And so it just, he makes other people around him better. And that's what you're looking for a point guard. And I think just fit with us, his mindset and approach to the game is really like what we appreciate here. So, you know, he's a guy that we really value. And I think it's a good point that I think if you're looking from the outside in, maybe you don't appreciate what he does, but, he's a really impactful guy for us. It takes on, you know, some of the most difficult defensive assignments and then has the ball in his hands for a huge percentage of the game. Like, that's a real, you know, heavy workload that he's able to handle. And, proud of his progress, excited to see what he does this year.
That's a great point. So seven newcomers it's kind of the norm in college basketball now, but it's kind of been the norm even prior, I think, for UCSD, right? When you're going through the transition and guys are, unfortunately, are coming and going. Who are some of the new faces that we should look out for of those seven that are coming in that might be the most impactful right off the bat?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a transfer world in college basketball, and we got a few of them. So, few of those guys right off the bat. I mean, Chris Howell is a guy. Some people might recognize the last name because Mikey Howell played for us and is on our staff. That's pretty cool to see, like, Mikey and Chris together on a daily basis, and Mikey coaching Chris and Chris playing for us, but Mikey's on staff. And so we've known that family for a long time with Mikey being here. And so it's really cool to have Chris, and Aiden, he's also a really good player too. So makes a ton of plays defensively, kind of like a little bigger version of Hayden Gray a little bit in terms of really active defensively, super versatile, really fantastic passer, makes a lot of plays for other guys. Just kind of like does those little things that help you win games. And, I think he's going to create some matchup problems because he's got a lot more size than Mikey. He's more kind of a really big wing He's kind of a point guard and a wing body, basically. Yeah. So, you know, I think between Ty and Niwa and Chris Howell and Hayden Gray doesn't, you know, he's pretty big for a point guard. Like, we have pretty good positional size there. And Justin Rochlin, who's another incoming transfer who can help us. Like, we like our positional size across the perimeter. But Chris is someone we think is going to make a big impact. And, you know, we're excited about having.
Yeah, he's from Torrey Pines, and you got, you know, Hayden Gray from that little I-5 stretch. And, you know, I know we can't talk about it, but there's a recruit, right, that, you know, that everybody loves in San Diego. And Camden McCormick, I mean, you're kind of opening up the doors now in San Diego. And I would assume having those guys really helps, right?
We love having local guys and recruiting San Diego. You know, it's cool to have people come out and have seen those guys play in high school and watch them develop over the course of time, and then see them here at home, like, making plays and playing in games here in San Diego. And, you know, some of them played in, I think Hayden and Chris both played in CIF championship games in Lava Tree Arena, you know, so then to have them back competing for us is a cool thing. And part of the reason why we always want to try to recruit San Diego and identify those local guys who can, you know, fill the needs for us.
Very cool. Schedule, going to go to San Diego State. I don't know if it'll be a, you know, one possession game like it was last time, but you're going to have some confidence over there. Just going to Florida for a tournament. Anything special stand out with the schedule? Do you want to schedule a little harder, or is it harder to get games? You know, I mean, thoughts on the schedule?
Yeah, it was a little harder to get games. You know, we kind of changed tiers in the metrics, and everybody kind of looks at the numbers and stuff when they're scheduling. And so we're in a kind of difficult place of scheduling where we're just kind of starting to be in a different tier. And so it was harder, but I like the way things ended up. I think we accomplished the things we want to accomplish in terms of the timing, building in appropriate rest where we give ourselves a chance to compete. We challenge ourselves in the non-conference. When you mentioned starting at San Diego State, like, that's a challenging opener, you know, to so see that at the beginning and get exposed to that type of size and athleticism, and then, you know, follow that up with some home games. You know, we got Pepperdine, Seattle, Sac State at home in a stretch, and got to Florida in a really high level mid-major. It's all mid-majors, but it's high level teams. I think we open with LaSalle, and there's a bunch of good teams in the MTE in Florida. Come back with a trip to Idaho and Utah State, you know, another Mountain West team that's really good. We got USD again. So we're playing both San Diego State and USD. Obviously, we want to keep doing that. We talked about San Diego and the San Diego basketball community. So that's a great opportunity to go over and play at San Diego State. And then obviously the Big West is always a challenge. And I think the league is moving in a positive direction. A lot of good teams. A lot of teams got better. Hopefully we're included in that. But certainly some of the teams in our league improved.
Well, I think the coaches think that. I mean, it seems to me like you like being the underdog, a team picked to finish, you know, on the bottom, and then show everybody, you know, with the kind of take that mentality. But now you're like, hey, the secret's out of the bag. You're you know, picked to finish third, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, you know, I don't mind being picked in the bottom. Like, I think they picked us 9th or 10th last year.
Yeah.
You know, so that doesn't bother me. Like, the, you know, being picked third, I don't mind that either. I appreciate the recognition that we have good players. You know, like, I think that's what everybody does, is they look and say, like, hey, who's on the rosters? Who do we think is good? Like, you know, we talked about some of those guys. Hayden, Niwa, Ty, I think, are 1, 2, 3, you know, like, those positions across the league. Like, I'm biased, but I wouldn't trade with anyone. You know, I think we have as good a backcourt as anybody has in the conference. So, you know, don't mind being picked at the bottom and everybody getting a chip on their shoulder. But at the same time, like, if you want to be where we're trying to go as a program, like, you got to be picked in that. Like, there have to be expectations. Like, you know, the number of times teams finish 9th, win the league, is, those are outliers for a reason, you know? And so we have really high expectations for ourselves. And so being picked 3rd or 4th or 2nd or wherever, like, none of that bothers us. Like, nobody could ever have expectations that rival ours for what we're trying to do. So, you know, it's just kind of the process of improving as a program. You're always going to kind of, you know, you return good players, which we're trying to do, you're going to get picked a little higher. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword no matter what.
Yeah. And the conference starts a little earlier this year. We've seen other conferences do this, you know, maybe play a game first week of December and then take a month off. And is that, bother you at all or anything there?
No, I don't mind it. I think it's overall, I think it's healthy. I think trying to get 20 games after Christmas is always a challenge. And certain years, like with the calendars or the moons or whatever is going on in the and then how the weeks land, it just some years it's really tight to get all those games in. And so moving too early and having a little more consistent schedule, I think there's value in that. And, you know, all these games matter. All these games count. You know, everybody's looking at their metrics, which is takes them all into place. And so, yeah, early doesn't bother me. Hopefully we're good early. You know, like we got some returning guys who played a lot of basketball and, you know, there's a lot of turnover in college basketball, so you don't really know what everybody's got early in the year. I feel pretty comfortable with our group, even though we certainly won't be a finished product, that we have enough kind of returning core group to hopefully compete well early in the season. So, yeah, I don't mind playing it early. We did that back when we were Division II. That was something that that league was doing as well. And it's something that's just sort of been necessitated across college basketball with the calendar and the games getting condensed after Christmas a little bit.
So final question for you. Top eight teams make the Big West tournament in Henderson at the end of the year. What will it take for you guys to be one of those eight teams this year?
Well, I think it'll take us getting pretty close to our best basketball. You know, that's really what we talk about is just trying to improve all the time. And we're working towards our best basketball, you know, whatever that looks like. If we find it or we get close to it, then we'll feel good about what those results are at the end. And so, you know, with the quality of the conference, I do think that if you want to be in the top eight just to make the tournament, if you want to be in the top four to get a bye, if you shoot finishing top two to get a double bye, like there's sort of a reward at each stage of that. But those are significant accomplishments in and of themselves, and it'll take a good performance from us and a lot of consistency. You know, regular season conferences, we talk about this a lot too, is they're about consistency. Who can play at the highest level for the longest, not who's best one night. Like it's everybody can have a good night a couple of times. It's who has the highest floor really in the conference. And that's how you do well in a regular season over course of a larger sample. So, you know, consistency is something we're trying to build up and kind of get our guys ready to play night in and night out and prepare themselves for the physical, you know, mental and emotional, workload that's coming with a, you know, college basketball season.
Appreciate the time. Thanks, man. We'll see you down the road.
My pleasure. We're excited about it.
Thanks, Eric and Steve. The Tritons begin their season 1 week from today on November 6th when they visit crosstown foe San Diego State. UC San Diego will then play three straight at home, including the homecoming game on November 9th against Pepperdine. Single game tickets are on sale now, and those can be purchased through the Triton box office. Be sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of TritonCast premiere on Wednesdays. Thank you for listening this week, and don't forget you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you get your pods. And a reminder that you can listen to any of our 108 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, you can send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.